In a moment, I'm going to just share some things that are on my heart, share some things, of course, from the Word of God, most importantly. But the order of evening tonight is once I'm done sharing, we're going to have communion together. And then we'll have just a great time of worship. And we'll bring the service to a conclusion, and then you can go and be with one another outside. Let's pray together right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and every single one of us are different people than we were this time a year ago. There's no doubt about it. We have been challenged. We have been stretched. A lot of us have had our beliefs confirmed. How wonderful is that? That this last year, no matter what trauma or drama we went through, it caused us to lean back on something. And that something was exposed. When we leaned on it, all of a sudden, our faith was no longer academic. Our faith was no longer theoretical. We, like so many in history, we, like so many in the world today, found out that our faith was really, truly upon God's word. And things shook. And we were immediately reminded that your Bible, Jesus, you said it, that as we approach the end times, everything that can be shaken shall be shaken. That which will remain shall remain. And in all of our lives, we've seen people this year, when the shaking hit, some people leaned back and they just fell right through the cracks. They had built their life on sand. Lord, I pray for all of us that are here this evening or those that are with us right now at home, wherever they may be, watching. And we leaned back and you were there. I remember being as a kid, Lord, you know what's in my mind. When that Nestle commercial of that little cartoon man with his Hawaiian hat on a hot day, would drink some tea and fall into a pool. Lord, we fell this year into your arms. You were there. And you caught us from behind, which makes it all the sweeter. And so, Father, as we put this year to the history books, if we choose tonight to let it go and to release it from your perspective, we'll do well. Because we'll be free from bitterness. We will be free from doubt and fear. We'll be free from all the how comes or the why nots. And we'll be liberated tonight. And we'll be able to face tomorrow, a new year, with the right priority, the right perspective, the right understanding from a biblical worldview. And that's something we cannot buy. That's something that no Bill Gates or no George Soros or Jeff Bezos can afford. How wonderful is that? That we, the people of God, tonight can possess your peace that no man can buy. It will never appear on the NASDAQ or the FTSE or the New York Stock Exchange. It's not for sale. It cannot be bartered for. Its value does not waver. Lord, we thank you for bringing us to this time tonight. And so, Father, we pray that the meditation of your word right now would set our hearts in the right place. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, church family, tonight I'm just going to ask you to have your mind and your heart resting upon the devotion this evening. You can see by the screen, Luke 21:31, when you see, that's what Jesus said. He said that in that portion of scripture, he said, so when you see these things begin to happen, know that the kingdom of God is near. He said, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. Listen, with carousing, that is senseless partying. Wow. The King James translators called it carousing. It means senseless partying. It means to party because you don't know what else to do. It means to see the dynamics of the world and the issue. Think about 2020 and you see it and you don't know what to do about it. So you just party. You drowned away your burden, your hurt, your concern, your fears in momentary drugs or alcohol. Listen, I'm not faulting any of you that might be here tonight or you that are viewing with us right now where you say, well, that's exactly what I did this year. This year freaked me out so much, I just went and kept buying six packs, or Jim Beam became my best friend. And this is what I understand that. We all understand that. Listen, before Jesus got a hold of our lives, we used to do that. Let's be honest. We didn't know what to do. And this year, 2020, was bigger than all of us. The awesome thing is, it wasn't bigger than our God, because Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, you know that the kingdom of God is near arriving. When you see this stuff going on, that's why God got a hold of you this year. Think about it. And you might say, well, I'm a seasoned saint, Pastor Jack. I've been walking with Jesus for 80 years. That's awesome, and we're grateful to God for you. But are you not closer to Jesus this year now than you were ever before? Because all of a sudden, man, things began to happen. And we've always read our Bibles and thought about, you know, every year we get closer to Jesus' nearness. We get closer to the kingdom coming. We just didn't think it would happen this way. What were we thinking? That it was going to arrive with a bow on it? Were we thinking that it was going to pull up all announced? That somehow somebody would climb on top of a truck and say, hey, these are end time events coming this way. Listen, this time last year, if somebody would have said, I see on the horizon a sickness that's going to be a pandemic, that's going to be spun out of control, that's going to be terrorizing people, that the cure to it's going to be worse than the pandemic itself, and that the greatest fear is not going to be getting sick, but what the governor is going to do to your family and your business, right? Think about it. And that you're going to be told to do this and to do that and do the other thing. It doesn't help, but it's going to give you something to do. Let's be honest. And the experts are going to tell us, you've got to do this. Don't look at us. We're going to do our own thing. But you've got to do this. And we saw all this happen. And it just added to the confusion of it all. Jesus said, when these things begin to happen, I intend to cheer you up. We have a new year happening very soon. Jesus said, when these things begin to happen, 2020 was just the beginning. Listen to the room. The room, all the air just got sucked out of the room when I said that. No, listen, isn't it great when somebody says, I love when the pilot gets on and says, and it's brilliant. I love the technology of it. Isn't it great when the pilot says, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain. We're going to need you to put your seatbelt on. In a few moments, we should be encountering some turbulence. Isn't it great that they've got the technology to tell you that there's rough air up ahead? Now, some people would say, I don't want to know that. I appreciate it. I have to make a decision. Do I order something now, or do I wait until the bumps end? Do I get up and go to the bathroom? Listen, my wife, I don't know what it is. It's remarkable. Lisa's got the ability to get up out of her seat and go back to the bathroom on the plane without the captain announcing there's going to be turbulence. There's going to be turbulence. So I have two warnings. If my wife gets up to go to the bathroom, there's going to be turbulence. I make sure my seatbelt's a little bit more snug, or the captain will announce it. Either way, I'm glad I know. What I don't want to do is be sitting around on this thing that's going to get bumpy without a seatbelt. I appreciate the warning. So many people today, listen, I don't want to know. Listen, yes, you do want to know, because when you don't want to know, that when something crazy hits, you think it's random crazy. See, the world tonight's biting its fingernails. Let's be honest. We've got friends tonight that don't know Jesus, and they're a little bit excited about the new year, but there's a part of them that's dreading, what if it doesn't get better? They've got a lot of hopes on tonight, church. They're banking on tomorrow when the sun comes up, they'll smell roses. It's going to be perfect. What if it's not? They've got all these Christian friends here tonight saying, I told you. Jesus said there'll be days like this. Jesus said there'll be days like this. That's what my Jesus said, that there'll be days like this. You could write a song like that. And it's true. But listen, I'm not done reading. So he gives all of this. Take heed that nobody, listen, he said, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with senseless partying, drunkenness, he said, and the cares of this life. The cares of this life. Jesus said, don't be weighed down with the cares of this life. That's a strong word. You say, well, the carousing doesn't apply to me. And the drunkenness, I don't do that anymore. And then he says, watch out though, the cares of this life will weigh on you and destroy your life. Now all of a sudden, have you been tempted this year to panic? Have you been tempted this year to wonder? Have you been tempted? I mean, it's been amazing. I say that in a crazy way. It's not only the sickness, the economy, the election, the craziness, the rioting, the pillaging. It sounds like I'm describing a movie coming this fall. Coming this fall, 2020. But it's not a movie. It's been real. And our God has not failed. He's not going to fail. And we go into the new year. You know what? We set our course. We're going to follow Jesus like we did this year. You know why? Because he's proven true to us. He hasn't let us fall. He hasn't let us stumble. He hasn't let us off the course. And I love the fact that he told us in advance, you can put your seatbelt on now. I very much appreciate that. And he went on to say, you be ready so that that day doesn't come to you unexpectedly, for it will come upon like a snare to all those who dwell on the face of the entire earth. I find this fascinating. Today, thinking about our time together tonight, Jesus said one of the hallmark indicators about how you're going to know if you're in the last days nearing his return is that the world will be going through stuff at the same time together. How in the world did Jesus know to say that 2,000 years ago? That at the same time, the world will be going through something all at once. Well, he knew that because he's God in skin. That's how he knew that. But your Bible says that on your lap tonight in Luke chapter 21. It tells us right there. The whole world's going to go through these things that begin to happen. Begin to happen. So when things hit us, if we view them from God's perspective, that nothing can happen in your life as a believer. How many are Christians? Raise your hands. I need to see. Okay. Nothing can happen to you according to the Bible. Nothing can happen to you unless it's first filtered by the Father. Nothing. You say, well, what about this? Nothing. What about my grandma died or my husband died or my wife died? Listen, nothing happens to you unless it's filtered by the Father. Listen, you are in his protective care now. He watches over you. Yeah, but I've had this grief, this pain, this sorrow. Listen, this world he came to set us free from. Listen, and this is not the finish line. This is not it. He will restore, the Bible says, what this world has consumed from us. That's why we love and trust him. He's so good to us. And let's be honest right now. He makes sense when he speaks. He tells us, hey, in this world, you're going to have difficulty and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I'm so grateful about that. Jesus, his word to us is not a fortune cookie. I have no value for fortune cookies. They're always fantastic. They're not real. You open them up. Oh, you're going to meet an interesting person this week. Of course you are. Especially now that that thought's in your head, you're going to be looking for that interesting person. I read the cookie. I've got to be looking for the person. It never says, never do you open a fortune cookie and it says, this year is really going to reek. It's going to put you through the ringer and you'll barely come out of it alive. They're never going to tell you that. It's all a bunch of platitudes and silliness. And then the Bible comes along and says, buckle up. There's turbulence ahead. I thank God for that. The Bible is real, man. It's true. And it tells you the truth straight up. And people need truth now more than ever before. Man. Here's the punch, though. I love this. He said, watch, therefore. And pray. That when these things happen, you will escape what is coming upon the earth and stand before your Father, which is in heaven. Wow. So Pastor, how bad is it going to get? Listen, we need to realize this. We need to look at it this way. How real and how authentic and how technicolor is God's word going to become to us this year ahead? Not how bad is it going to get? Because if you're going to enter 2021 thinking, oh, how bad is it going to get? Then you could walk out of the building tonight and stub your toe and say, see? It's already starting. We're Christians. Not only are we not going to think that way, but listen, we don't have to think that way. See, the world has to think that way. They're out tonight. They're buying rabbit's foots this evening. They're getting, I don't know, garlic for their door. I don't know what they're doing. But it's all about, you know, come on. That's a lot that's behind the New Year's resolutions. I'm going to be a better, this year's been, I'm going to be a better person this year. We appreciate the intention. But you have no power. So no, this year's taught me a lesson. That's great, but the truth is, you need Jesus Christ in your life. Can I be very blunt and very clear? You do not need this church in your life. You do not need anybody in your life. You do not need anything that this world can offer you. And by the way, you don't need anything that religion would lay on you tonight. You know what you need? You need Jesus. Simply, absolutely Jesus. Simply Jesus. So when he says, when you see these things, man, my God's in control. See, yeah, but it doesn't look like the world's coming apart. From the world's perspective, it looks like it's coming apart. According to God's perspective, it's falling right into place. Seriously. Absolutely. So this year that's to come, I'm not a prophet. And like Amos in your Bible, I'm not a son of a prophet. Okay, and I'm telling you that what God, I believe, started in 2020, the magnitude of his investment, think about it, is going to continue. I mean that in a great way. Because I don't know what's going to happen with COVID or the next COVID or the next thing or whatever gets loose from Wuhan next. I don't know. Or whatever happens. I don't know. You don't know. I don't have to know. Because my captain said, hey, you know what? When you see this stuff, just cut, tighten your seatbelt a little bit. So what does that mean? Don't lean on stuff that's going to evaporate. Why, it's okay, Pastor. It's been a great year. My company flourished during this time. We made a lot of money. I've never been more financially secure. The Bible says, don't trust in riches, lest they sprout wings and fly away. Isn't that graphic?
Whoa, man, I got $1 million.
Listen, we're already starting to hear about it right now. Uncertain times are before us. Buy gold and silver. And then you turn on an expert survivalist on the Discovery Channel, and he actually challenged you, and he says, you can have, this is great. I mean, I don't mean to put anybody in a tough spot now, but people look around the world, and I'm not saying we should be dumb. Christians should be the smartest people around. But if you're going to lean on something that you have in a safe, so I got gold, this is going to save me. And the Bible says in the book of James, watch out, because in the last days, people are going to have gold and silver, thinking that it's going to save them. But the Bible says you can't eat it. Right. So it's okay, I got gold. And you're going to do well with it. In a time of crisis, you're going to go down to the store and what, shave off some gold? And you're going to get a loaf of bread? That ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Listen, when everything goes out from underneath us, and it doesn't have to be another year, and it doesn't have to be a pandemic, and it doesn't have to be anything. It can be something that just happens to you personally, privately. True story, and then I'll wrap this up. So, a little while ago, not like an hour ago, I'm talking a month or two or so ago, I'm doing fine. And then I feel a little funny. And then I felt like somebody stuck a knife, I guess. Never had a knife stuck in my stomach before, but I felt like somebody stabbed me in the stomach. And it was really weird. And then I instantly got nauseous. And from the start of the pain to turning into a blubbering, crazy person, it was like about 5 minutes. And I was giving birth to kidney stones. If you can ever avoid giving birth to kidney stones, avoid it. Avoid it. Don't do it. It came on so fast, it hurt so much. So when I made it through that, I went to a local clinic here and I said, can you scan me to make sure I don't have any more of those things? Why? Because I want to know in advance. Like when the captain says, buckle up for bumpy weather, I want to know. So most people say, I don't know, you don't want to know. Trust me. You want to know, because now in my life, I'm thinking, I get an app, local, nearest hospital. And so the guy's looking, he's looking around. No, you look good there, but let's go, let's look around also somewhere else. I'm thinking, I don't know. That's not what I came in here for. And he goes, oh, you know what? And he gets real quiet. And then he starts going like this. And that's never good. So you're going to say something? Shh. So I'm thinking, there's no seatbelts on this bed. And he prints it out and he goes, you're going to want to see a doctor. So I have a doctor. And went up there. I say up there. My doctor's at Cedars. So I went up there. And he's a real doctor. I mean, people fly from all over to hear this guy say, what's wrong with you? So I got this thing. The guy, you got this thing in your bladder. And it's growing. It looks like it's growing because it wasn't there last year or 2 years ago. Something's going on. So I go to the guy. And he goes, yeah, first of all, let's take a full look at you. He goes, oh, yeah, man. He goes, you got kidney stones. They're... And it's like, oh, no. But that's not what I'm here for. I'm here for the other thing. You know, the other thing. And he goes, what other thing? I go, the thing I came here for. I gave you the pictures. And he goes, oh, that was nothing. The angle, there was this shadow, and it was coming from something over here, and it cast a shadow onto the film. And when they took a picture, it looked like you had this tumor thing in your bladder. But no, there's nothing there. It's completely fine. Yeah. And you go, it's like, yeah. Here's the thing, man. I went there. I was going to bring my own seat belts to that appointment. Because I'm thinking. And here's the sweet thing. When you don't know, as a believer, you can't buy this. As a believer, it's like, I'm going to L.A. to find out if I've got problems. So, Lord, the way I look at it, because your word is so awesome, if I got a problem, you got a problem. Yeah. Right? Because God, my body belongs to you.
Amen.
And if you could bring me through those stones that I gave birth to, Lord, I'm yours. Amen. And let me tell you something. Before I knew the answer, you know, because your mind, we're all humans. Wow. And if this, and then what about this? And what about this? And what color? My casket should be this color. And I don't like lilies. In your mind is like, wait a minute, where am I going? Whole thing about it was the peace of God that passes all understanding.
Amen.
So, dear friends, tonight, listen. We've come together this evening to focus on the fact, and technically tonight, we are going to dedicate, you are going to dedicate your year to the Lord. He already knows what's coming. You don't. I don't. But we're going to remember tonight, okay? That's the deal. We're going to remember. Now, wait a minute. I remember back on December 31st that I gave the new year into your hands, God. And you're going to lean on that. Because faithful is he who has promised. And this is what he's promised. In Psalm 65:11, he says that his desire is to cause your year that's ahead of you to drip with abundance and for the paths of your feet to be kept by him. Amen. And I love that. Because listen, the abundance of God is his peace. He's been good to us. No matter what, he's been good to us. And we must choose to be true followers of Jesus. Because God does not want you to follow the past anymore. Don't follow the past. Because when we follow the past, it leads us. And when it leads us, there'll be remorse, regret, even bitterness. Cut loose from that tonight. The reason why he is who he is because tonight we celebrate in our service together of communion. These elements where in his incredible love for you, he gave his body 2,000 years ago on a cross. He offered up. You say, what in the world for? Because the Bible tells us that when God revealed himself back in the Old Testament, he said, this is how we meet. This is how we meet. Because of sin, there has to be the sacrifice of innocence because I'm God, I'm holy, and I'm pure. Now listen, people, I don't mean this to be funny in any way. He's pure, he's holy. We cannot connect with him because we are impure. We are unholy. When you walk into a store these days, they'll say to you, put your mask on. We cannot do this transaction. I walked into the place to get, I called in the food. I went to get it. And walk in, no mask. I have my mask. It's in my pocket, but they don't know that. It's in my pocket. I walk in. And the woman grabs the bag. She's got the bag, and she looks, and she sees me. And she says, I have my credit card. She has the bags. It's like standoff now. She goes, do you have a mask? I go, yes. She goes, can you put the mask on? Because we have to do it this way. I went just like this. I just grabbed the paper. I pulled it out. I just went. I got it. I made the exchange. The deal was made. And I walked out. Here's the thing. The transaction couldn't have happened unless there was a mask. Safety. The transaction of forgiveness could not, it can't happen. It can't happen unless there's that needed moment. Jesus Christ, he not only died on the cross for our sins, the entire Old Testament of animal sacrifices made that clear. God, with Adam and Eve, we don't even think about it. Adam and Eve walked around with God. They sinned. And the next thing we know, that fellowship with them is restored. The Bible says, remember, they sinned. Then they knew they were naked. Man, think of what happened to them. They were naked before they sinned and they didn't even know it. Their hearts were so pure. They were so perfect. Then they sinned and the Bible says they knew that they were naked instantly. And that's not funny, like, oh, they were naked. Oh, are you kidding? They were ashamed. They covered themselves up. They were shocked. And the Bible tells us the next thing, it says, and God made for them covering of skin, clothing. And we keep reading on in our Bibles, don't we? We'll probably read it tomorrow in our Genesis reading. Yeah. And little do we pause to realize, how did they get covered? Who covered them? How did they get covered? Do you ever stop to think that an animal in the garden had to die? Yeah. Yeah. An innocent animal. They didn't do anything. Adam and Eve did it. But it cost them their life to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. Are you with me? Yes. No wonder why John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is your sin covering. He is your sin remover. Amen. He's the one. Listen, if you put on a mask to go into a store to get something that you want, how much more do you need to put on Jesus to go into heaven? Because believe me, that's what you really want, is what God gives you. And these elements tonight are a picture of that. The bread is the symbol of Jesus' body. The cup is the symbol of his blood for you. And faith in him, dear friend, is what transforms your life. It's not your faith, it's him that you put your faith in. Amen. The object. And so tonight's unique, you know. We're going to have communion, but it's only for believers. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you're not supposed to take communion. It's clearly declared in Scripture. If you want to become a Christian tonight, you can do so right there. And I encourage you, put on your seatbelt. Because you're going to go through life's bumps with or without Jesus. You're going to go through life's bumps as a human. It's way good to go through life's bumps with Jesus. So you would just say to him tonight, I want your forgiveness, Jesus. I need you in my life. Take over, take control of my life. God, one thing's sure, 2020, I didn't do it so good. I need you. I was fearful, I was scared, I was terrorized, I hid out for fear. I'm tired. I need you. And listen, fall back into his arms. By simply understanding he forgives you of your sins because he died on the cross for you and for me. And he rose again from the dead to bestow to your life the power of the Holy Spirit, to live for him until you see him face to face. Because he's your covering. He's your protector. So, ushers, are we handing out or are we handing out? So you just remain seated. I know the temptation is going to be for you to stand during this, you know, worship. Try not to do that. We're going to hand out the elements and then we'll take it together, okay? And then we'll worship and you can do whatever you want to do. Father, we come to you tonight. And Father, I'm thinking right now of C.S. Lewis's book, Surprised by Joy. I'm surprised. I've been surprised all this year, Lord. And I have to confess, I shouldn't have been. I'm sorry, Jesus, that I was surprised. I was surprised by how faithful you are. And I shouldn't have been surprised. Lord, I am surprised that you provided like you did at such a bizarre year. And I shouldn't be surprised about that. I'm surprised, Lord, that you catapulted this body of believers forward to encourage so many other churches across America and around the world. I shouldn't have been surprised by that. Lord, you always surprise me, and with that, I should not be surprised. You're so amazing. You have been so generous, and you've been so kind. I ask you, Lord, to receive our worship tonight. We want to end this year in worship. We think, all of us, we know people tonight, that they're going to end this year drinking themselves into oblivion. They're gonna party senselessly because they don't know what else to do. They're gonna pretend this year never happened for a few hours tonight. And Lord, we love them. We don't know them, we don't understand them, but in Christ Jesus, we love them because we can relate. We pray, Lord, that you would open up the eyes of those that are lost and held captive by their old life tonight. Across this nation, Lord, we pray that you'd send forth revival to your church and awakening to our nation. Lord, we're on the brink. And we pray that you would hear us tonight, and that we as your people would dedicate ourselves, our families, our loved ones, our state, this nation, to you. So Lord, as we partake in a moment of communion, in this next song or two, may we prepare our hearts, because you're here, you're real, you're listening, you're watching, and you love us. And may you hear from our hearts tonight that truth.